Let me begin with a question. A question that I'll address to those of you that are here. And by the way, what a wonderful number of folks that are here at this first service. I'm thankful for each one of you. But I also want to address the question to those who are watching and some other location. Here's the question. I really want an answer. I know I can't see you that are in your home or wherever you are, but I still want you to respond. How many of you have canceled at least one trip this year? Let's see your hand. Oh, yes, I expected that. I really did. My wife and I, we've already canceled three trips, and we have not even scheduled the fourth one that we hoped to schedule. We had a cruise planned for our 51st wedding anniversary, and man, did that ever get canceled? It was an incredible number of cancellations that happened then. And then we had a Nicaragua mission trip. And our heart, a lot of our heart is in Nicaragua. We love the work of Project Hope, and we love the people in Nicaragua. But no trip to Nicaragua this year. We had a trip planned next week with some dear friends. In fact, I think we would have probably have left even by now. But we were going to Estes Park area out in Colorado. Oh, we were excited about that. But we canceled those. Now, I will tell you, there's some grief there for us. We wanted to go on those trips. But I will also tell you, I do not like airports. Do I get a witness from anybody? I mean, there's always stress there. And one of the great stresses for me during this time is the luggage issue. The luggage issue. I don't have any idea how much it's going to cost me when I walk in there. And I don't know if that thing's going to weigh 40 pounds or 41 pounds. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have to take some out of one suitcase and put it in the other. I hate that. Some people travel light. How many of you, when you travel light? Let me see your hands. Yeah. This lady over here, P.K. Hinkle, I know she travels light. I think she went to Africa with what was in her purse. I'm not sure, but it felt like it to me. The rest of us lugging things along. But P.K., she knows how to pack light. Of course, she also numbers her kids' socks. But that's another issue that we won't go into today. And then some of us tend to pack a little more heavily. I want to talk to you today about traveling, not light nor heavy, but traveling right. And I want to talk to you about that from the context, not of a physical journey, but of a spiritual journey. You all know this, but Southgate Baptist Church is going to be entering into a new season. That's exactly right. You're going to be entering into a new season. I know that. I don't know when. I don't know if it's the gentleman and his family that are coming. I'm trusting God in that. But I do know this. There is a new season ahead for Southgate Baptist Church. I know that. And what I want to know, what I want you to know, is are you traveling right into that new season? There may be some things that you need to leave behind. I'll be real honest with you. I don't think I know any church or any person that does not have some baggage that might cause problems in the new season. You may need to leave behind something. Might be bitterness. It might be any number of things. But we need to address the question, am I ready for that new season? Am I traveling right? I'm going to ask you today to take your Bible and go with me to John chapter 20. In just a moment, we'll begin with verse number 19, and I'll be reading in the New King James Version today. John chapter 20, in just a moment, beginning with verse 19. Now, you can carry bitterness into the next season. It's not wise. You can carry guilt into the next season, but it is unwise. You don't know whether there will be adventures or agonies or both ahead for you, but you can enter into that new season, and you can enter into it well. Let me give you a sentence before I even read the text. You ready? Here's the sermon in a sentence for those of you that might need just that. You can enter this new season traveling right. Oh, listen, I want you to believe that. And I don't want anything less than that for you. And by the way, when your new pastor does come and stand where I'm standing, I want him to look out and see people traveling right. I'm going to tell you how to pack. I'm going to tell you what you need in order to be traveling right into the new season that's right ahead. All right, verse 19, if you have your copy of Scripture, here we go. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, I will tell you that that's primarily what I'm going to be addressing, those verses. But I want to read on to the end of the chapter. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." By the way, he was packing doubt. He was packing doubt. But God's a gracious God. Listen to verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, here it is, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Today I want to take a moment right now, because I'm talking with you, my friends, about this new season. I want to take time to pray about the new season. Let me say again that as I pray, you've got something you need to do. Not just listen, no. You press in, hopefully in agreement with what I'm saying, because this new season is incredibly important to Southgate Baptist Church and to your new pastor and his family. So let's pause and pray. Oh, Father, we come before you with a keen awareness that we are on the cusp of a new season. We come before you with an awareness, Father, that we need to be filled with the knowledge of your will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Oh, Father, just in my simple words, show us what to do. Give divine leadership. And I pray for this church that I have grown to love. I pray for each member. I pray, Father, for the one who will stand here to preach soon. And I pray for his family. And I pray that you will show yourself strong. Oh, Father, new seasons. Can be times of real challenge, but they can also be times of glorious adventure. We thank you for both of those in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what I've said? I'll say it again. You can enter this new season traveling right. Traveling light. Traveling right. And so what I want to do is just in that text, so keep your copy of Scriptures before you, just in that text and just in a few minutes' time, I want to share with you what I think this congregation needs to pack right now, if you're not already. You need to pack this if you're going to travel right into the new season, this new season that God has for you. So let's begin. Are you ready? I'll tell you if you're a note taker what to write down. If not, you're not going to have any trouble remembering it. Here's the first thing I want to say to you. When you come into any new season as a child of God, and when you come into this season as a congregation, here's the first thing I would suggest you need to pack. Pack peace. I know that if you were paying attention, and I believe that you were, as I read the scripture, and as perhaps you read in your copy of scripture, you heard that not once, you heard it maybe three times in that passage of scripture. Verse 19, he said, "Peace be with you." Again in verse 29, "Peace to you." And then later in verse number 26, he stood in their midst and said, "Peace to you." Hear me when I say this. You need to pack peace as you enter into this new season. And I will tell you, peace was a theme of Jesus' teaching. He often spoke about peace, and he spoke about, listen, peacemakers. Oh my. Because the peacemakers are the one who are seen to be the children of God. We long for this peace in our hearts. We truly want it in our homes, and we want it in our world. But sometimes we feel like Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in the context of the Civil War when he penned these words, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." We go through those times and we feel like there's no peace. We face COVID-19 and we say, when will it end? But we're going to enter into new seasons, and in those new seasons, and as we pack for those new seasons, we can enter into those new seasons traveling right. And if you're going to travel right, you're going to pack peace. You're going to pack peace with God. Oh, can I just say, I don't think there's anything much more important. Let me say something, church. I love you, but let me say this. If you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace with one another. If you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace with your pastor. If you don't have peace with God, you are not going to be traveling right. You need peace in your life. You need peace in good times. You need peace in difficult times. Now, why do some of us not have peace? And I think I could list many reasons, but I'm just going to give you two this morning. One of the reasons we don't have peace is because of fear. We fear sometimes the past and its consequences. And sometimes we fear the present and its conditions. And sometimes we fear the future and whatever circumstances it will bring. Now hear me when I say this. If any of you are packing fear, unpack. Not because I told you to, but because Jesus said, "Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Pack peace into the unknown future. And fear is an enemy of that peace. Don't take fear with you when you leave this place. Leave it at the altar and walk away. And instead, take the peace that Jesus Christ gives. So one of the primary enemies of peace is fear. But there's a second one, and I think God wants me to say this to you. The second enemy of peace that I would mention today is my preferences. If you go into this new season focused on your preferences, you're going to lose your peace. Now, why do I say that? Because no matter what your preferences may be, somebody else sitting in this room and somebody else watching has a different set of preferences. Do you understand that we who are children of God do not live by our preferences? It's not a matter of preference, it's a matter of deference. We defer to one another. We are willing to have something different than what we would have preferred because we love one another. Someone has said, and I don't know if this is true, but someone has said the music you're going to love all your life is the music you loved when you were 17 years old. Al, do you remember being 17 years old? Yeah, me too, and I remember the music. I was a child of the 50s and a teenager in the 60s. You bet I do. I mean, they don't write songs like Purple People Eater anymore. Thank the Lord. But we tend to do that, don't we? I grew up in a home where we had a radio but no television. My dad had a Gibson guitar. My mother had an accordion. And, of course, in that time, we had no indoor plumbing. We certainly had no air conditioning. So in the heat of the day, we would sit out in the yard, and Dad would play his guitar. Mom would play the accordion. We would sing, and our coon dog named Bimbo would howl. That was life. And I grew up loving country music, and I especially love country gospel music. And as I became a teenager, I fell in love with the Happy Goodman family and with the singers like the Rambos and the Statesman Quartet and Blackwood Quartet. I Southern gospel music, that's my preference. That's my preference. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm glad I did not get stuck in my preferences. I'm glad that I have learned new ways to tell Jesus Christ I love Him. If I have one way to tell my sweet wife that I love her, that's good. If I have 100 ways, that's better. Had I only allowed what was my preferences to be in my life, I would have not been rejoicing this morning. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. It's one of my favorites. Wasn't even around when I was younger. But I love that. And so here's what I'm saying, that if you are only interested in your preferences, you are going to find yourself having difficulty traveling right into the new season. I want you to understand that sometimes the very words that will choke a church, including this church, are these. I want it my way. I want it my way. Well, what about her? Don't care about her. I want it my way. And that will choke a church to death. It's not about preferences, my friend. And if you're going to have peace, you need to put that preference issue to rest. Don't carry it with you. We'll always have our preferences. But more than that, we'll have the love that Jesus Christ gives us for Him, Himself, and for one another as we move into that future. I have taught for many years in churches a couple of principles. One of them is this: what we do is important. How we do it may be more important. The testimony of this church will be based not primarily on what you do in the next season, but on how you do it. And James McDonald said, you can be right, but if you're wrong in the way that you're wrong even if you're right. That wouldn't be bad to say repeatedly in a political season. I want you to travel right into the next season, and I pray for you daily that you might do so. If you travel right, you're going to have to pack peace, and you're going to have to deal with fear, and you're going to have to deal with this issue of what I want and my preferences, and rather be looking at how God can use you. Many of you know that I serve as the Western Commissioner of Christian County, Missouri, and I'm thankful for that opportunity. I'm on a mission trip every day, and I'm a sent one to someone, and God brings them into my life, and I'm thankful for that. I've got two fine men that serve with me, and I thank God for them. They're men of integrity, and we have a commitment that we've shared together. Here's the commitment: that if a vote comes before this commission and those two gentlemen vote yes and I vote no, the moment that vote is over, I am 100% in favor of what was decided. Do you understand that? I've made a commitment. We are a commission together. And once the decision is made, even if I did not agree with that decision, I will be passionate in my explanation of why I disagree. But the moment those two men vote yes, even though I vote no, the next moment, if anyone walks up to me and say, what do you think about that? I'm going to say, I'm 100% in favor of it. Because I am part of a commission. You're part of a church. And so however you may vote when that time comes, may I say to you as clearly as I know how, determine now that once that vote is made, you will lift your head to heaven. You'll say, Lord, thank you for revealing your will to the church, and support that with every fiber of your being, and walk with peace into the new season. Pack peace. All right. Let's go back to the text. We're going to look at a second thing that we need. You can enter this new season traveling right, but you got to pack peace. Number two, pack purpose. Incredibly important. What is your purpose as a church? And perhaps you would say it one way or you'd say it another, but Jesus said it this way in verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. Everyone in this church is a sent one. Everyone in this church is an apostle for Jesus Christ. Everyone in this church is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And that is no small thing. We have a purpose. We have a mission. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. We proclaim Christ in order to do the same. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We preach and teach and live the word in order to do the same. Jesus came to reconcile mankind, men and women, boys and girls, to the Father God, and we are to be reconcilers. He came to deliver us from the wrath to come, and we are in the business of delivering people from the wrath to come. Colossians 1, 19 and 20, it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Pack purpose. A long time ago, someone said this, those who row the boat seldom have time to rock the boat. Huh? When you are filled with a sense of purpose and you know what God has called you to do, the little things don't disrupt your life or your fellowship. Pack purpose. We are peace ambassadors. Listen to what Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:14 and following. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we regarded Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Pack purpose in your life. And when I was thinking about this, I thought of this. My whole life has been shaped by purpose. I suspect yours has as well. When I was a child, my purpose was to read and to learn. As a teenager, my purpose was to go to college and become a high school math teacher. As an 18-year-old, my purpose was ping pong. Yeah, and I majored in it for about 2 years. And fast-pitch softball. Played that till I was 52 years old. As a 19-year-old, my purpose was to win the heart of pretty Miss Debbie, and I did. And as a 27-year-old man, my purpose was changed. As a 28-year-old man, my purpose was to learn in seminary and complete my studies. As a 30-year-old pastor, to shepherd the great people at the Mount Sinai Baptist Church in Boaz. I love them to this day. And as a 35-year-old pastor, to see God do His work at Ridgecrest Baptist Mission that became Ridgecrest Baptist Church. And now in this third life, I'm motivated and I'm moved by purpose. And I know that I have a purpose, and I wake up every morning glad that I have a purpose on this earth. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. You can enter this new season traveling right. You pack purpose. Now I'm going to tell you something. You go into tomorrow packing peace and packing purpose, you're getting ready for a good season ahead. One last thing. In verse number 22 of chapter 20, here's what it says. He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, this indescribable gift. He comes to regenerate us, to indwell us, to place us into the body of Christ, to seal us for all eternity, to gift us for service, to empower us to accomplish His purpose. He literally is the gift that keeps on giving. Without the Holy Spirit, no peace. Are you listening, church? Without that ministry of the Holy Spirit, no peace. Without the Holy Spirit, you could not accomplish your purpose. Wouldn't work. Without the Holy Spirit, you would have no power. So you pack peace, you pack purpose, and you pack power. Go into the new season full of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. Making melody to one another. Making melody to God in your heart. Go into tomorrow filled with the Spirit. And love and joy and peace will spill out. And patience and kindness and goodness will spill out. And gentleness and faithfulness and self-control will spill out. And what's inside will show in the next season. What's in your heart? So be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can enter this new season traveling right. But only if you pack power. I don't ever remember hearing this phrase when I was young. It's only been in the last few years. This phrase. He is packing. And they're not talking about going on a trip. They're talking about a weapon. We've got people that I know personally in my family that they don't go home, they don't leave home without it. They leave packing because they know there could be some trouble ahead. And I'm not. I'm not packing any kind of weapon except the weapon of God's Word. But I am packing peace, and I am packing purpose, and I am packing power, and I will not take Satan lightly, but I will live fearlessly, and I will live faithfully. I will be, as my sweet wife heard the Spirit speak to her a few days ago, be fearless and faithful. She is traveling right. I want us to travel right. Go into this next season packing. Packing peace. Packing purpose. Packing power. And may your new pastor stand here and look over a congregation of people at peace. A congregation of people with a common purpose and a congregation of people filled with the power of the Spirit. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your grace. And I'm praying in the sweet name of Jesus that you would do exactly what you want to do. Father, I am believing somebody hearing me today has something they need to unpack. May they do exactly that. And others of us. Just to make need to make sure we've got the right thing when we go into the new season. That peace, that purpose, and that power. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.